initiator of the Quakery campaign. Tracy is really taking the burden in this congregation to get that started, and she has literally plowed her heart and soul in the Pray For Me campaign. And I could just see as I was talking to her, that was a real burden on her heart to really support the Pray For Me campaign. And so through Tony's ministry, he has seen the Holy Spirit God work when people commit to consistent, fervent, specific prayers, and he'll get more into that as he comes up and speaks. So he'll be sharing with us this vital call to prayer and how important it is. And if you notice in the song, it didn't say sweet seconds of prayer. It didn't say sweet minutes of prayer. It said sweet hour, and probably hours, like Jesus did. So they want to be sharing. So let us give him a warm welcome.
Thank you. What a delight to be here this morning. And hold. There we go. Now we're ready. It is a delight to be here with you this morning, and the early service and the Sunday school hour. This is the makes my day complete right here. This moment right here. I just want to get a little feedback here. As far as people that maybe don't be afraid. That's my caveat on the front end. You don't have to be afraid. But I want to get a sense. I know that you guys have been doing the Pray For Me campaign for 3 years now. Different people. If you haven't been able to be a part of it yet, that's okay. But so don't be afraid. That when I ask you to raise your hand, I just want to get a sense of who in the room has experienced some of the Pray For Me campaign. I know that, if you raise your hand now, this is when I ask you, if you raise your hand, who's experienced some of the Pray For Me campaign? Well, that's good. I'm glad that I saw the hands that I saw, but I'm glad that there's so much opportunity in the room. There's so much opportunity. Okay, so one of the things that most people don't know about me is besides being, very, very tall, you laughed too hard. You laughed way too hard there. Is that I used to be a youth pastor, and then I went to Chattanooga. I'm from Chattanooga. But when I was here in Atlanta, I was a youth pastor here in Atlanta. And I am in the club that Derek is in having twins. Now, mine are older. They're 31. But they were born here in Atlanta at Shalford Hospital, which I'm not sure it's Shalford Hospital anymore. It's some other name, if it's a hospital. Then we moved to Chattanooga, and I was been for the last 31 years, we've been part of a ministry that has served youth pastors and helped them do their jobs better, help them to encourage them to connect, coach, and care for them, to help them to be able to serve students, families, and churches more effectively. Now, In the process, what we did is we got to 18 years in, and we started looking at the research that shows what's happening with young people, not in this church, not here, in other churches. The research that shows that young people are growing up in our churches, and they are when they graduate and go off to college, they abandon many. The numbers are high that they're abandoning what they grew up with, the faith that they grew up in, and the church. Now, you may or may not know that. That may not be familiar to you, but that's what's happening. And so when we saw that in 18 years in, and in 2012, we saw that, and we started asking the question, well, is there something that can be done? And the research shows that this is what's happening, there's exit, but those that young people that stay connected to the church and flourish in their faith, because we're concerned about flourishing. We're not just concerned, are they in the room? I mean, anybody can be in the room, but we want them to flourish in their relationship with God. And so we started asking that question, is there something we can do? And so the research shows that those that do stay connected have multiple adult believers investing in their lives. And so we started asking the question, well, how can we get more adults connect with more young people more naturally than ever before? Now, because here's what you and I know. this front row over here knows this really well. My new friends, they didn't know they were my friends yet, but they're my friends. And my new friends know that we all back away from awkward, right? We back away from it. Who wants awkward? It needs to be natural. It needs to feel natural. It needs to be winsome. And so we ask the question, how can we get more adults connected with more young people more naturally, not awkward, and more winsomely than ever before? Because if that takes place, that changes the trajectory of young people in their faith. It's not just an idea, it's a reality. It changes the trajectory of a young person in their faith. Now, in a moment, I'm going to come back to why that's the case. Don't let me not come back to that, okay? If it looks like I'm not coming back to, you're my guard here. Guard and say, hey, are you going to come back to this thing? And it starts with a B, okay? Then I'll know, okay. It's team. We're on a team today, okay? So one of the things that you're looking at a guy that when my daughters were born, I was an average prayer. I thought prayer was good. I thought it was important. I think God gave it to us, and it's important. But if you ask me, when they were born 30 years ago, where do you think you might make your mark for God if you were going to make any kind of mark? Where are you going to make your dot for God? It would not have been in the realm of prayer. And if that's the case, how did I get from that to this? Well, this October, I will have been married 40 years. October 5th, 1985, I stared into my bride's eyes, her hazel green eyes, and said, for richer or poor, for better or worse, richer or poor, in sickness and health, till death do us part. That's what I said. And I was 25 years old, and I said, I have no idea really what I'm saying. I'm committed to it. I have no idea what it's going to play out to be. I'm in, but I had no idea. So we've been married almost 40 years, and October 5th, I say that date a couple times so you can send gifts. I mean, it's a milestone. It's a milestone. So I had no idea what was ahead. So we've been married almost 40 years. In 32 to 33 of those years, there's been some health challenge in that time period. Now, I was totally banking on the better, maybe not rich, but not poor, and health. Had no idea. And so, in those 33 years, my wife has had a variety of health challenges. 21 of those years was faced with severe migraine-like headaches that would not let her go. We have 50-plus doctors in our rearview mirror. We have went all over the country trying to find the answer to that. Almost invariably, the doctors would say, hey, this is the answer. We would maybe have a surgery to fix that. That didn't solve it, but maybe cause some other things. So 21 years of that, 12 years, what we call the dark ages. In the dark ages, there was mostly, she was mostly bedridden, her thinking going away, her memory going away. That's a key component of that was when my daughters were middle school, high school, and college. Key time of life. I never imagined that I would ever have a real conversation with my wife again because of what she was able to do and what she wasn't able to do. But during that time, God had mercy on this man, because I realized prayer is different than I ever imagined it could be, because I became desperate, as you can imagine. I became very desperate. 2 years in, I'm thinking, Lord, how long is this going to take? I was decades off. I had no idea, but in God's mercy, He didn't allow my heart to get hardened. Because when you're in desperate situations, several things can happen. You can get hardened towards God. Why me? And you get angry at God. And in his mercy, he did not allow that to take place. He made my heart tender and said, where else will I go? He has life. I'm going to go to him. And so I learned to pray. In desperation, my desperation led to dependence. And as I depended upon him over and over and over again. Now, you have to understand that during this 21-year period, there were thousands of nights. I'm prone to exaggeration, but this is not one of them. There were thousands of nights where my wife would be weeping because the pain was so severe. But we couldn't go to the emergency room. They didn't have anything for us. We had already gone to the doctors, the specialists all over the country. And so we prayed, and then we hoped that the next day might be different. Now, you know the passage in Lamentations that where his mercies are new every morning. Well, you know, when I first saw that, I'm thinking, maybe they were talking healing here in the morning. His mercies were not healing. They were sustaining mercies. He came in and he undergirded us and got us through the next day. And he got us through the next day and the next day. Now, in the process, now, God in 2015, it looked like she was going home. When I say home, we're not talking to my house in Chattanooga. We're talking home with Jesus. And it was very dark. But then in March of 2016, God just turns the dial. No new doctors, no new medicines. She starts getting better. And I'm thinking, she really starts getting better. She gets so much better, she's able to drive again. She hadn't driven in years. Now, this is so uncommon for my daughters to see my wife being able to do anything, really, because she was so disabled. They came home for spring break. My wife was in the kitchen at the stove. One of my daughters runs into the other room, says, Dad, Mom's at the stove with an open flame. It's like, okay, she's never seen this. I mean, when they were younger, my wife was very capable, and she was... Before that, everything got so bad, she was able to do stuff, and they just their recent memory was not strong in that regard. But so we joke about that, the open flame part. So what you see in front of you is a man that God has, you know, kind of refined a little bit, because the man that she married, that she got on October 5th, 1985, is not the same man that stands before you today. God has refined, and we're nowhere close to being done being refined. There's a lot of work. There's still edges all over and I got my close friends can tell you what edges need to be refined. But what I want to do, sometimes when somebody has written a book on prayer or a couple books on prayer, what happens is you start thinking, oh, he's got insider track going. He understands this. Well, I'm still learning. You're seeing a learner in front of you. But I want to invite you into that what God has done and is doing and offers in prayer is one of the most beautiful, powerful things that I've ever experienced. That God, in his mercy, gives us prayer. Okay, watch this. I know that we are bibliocentric in this room. That, you know what that means? I have to say it more times. And so that means that this is where we get our truth from. The truth of the Bible tells us what we know about God. And it's a delight. It is a delight. But what happens is this, is that he's told us about prayer. And if we had this without prayer, you know what we have? We have the ability to know about God. What happens with God's gift to prayer to us is that now we can have a relationship. The first thing you ever did, if you know Jesus, if you're in this room and you know Jesus, the first thing you ever did was pray to become a Christian. You can't be a Christian without prayer. It's an impossibility. Your heart calls out to God, save me. I know I'm a sinner. I need you. Come, cleanse me. Transform me. Make me like you. Prayer is God's gift to us for relationship. If we take prayer out of what we do as Christians, then we can only know about Him. We don't really get to know Him relationally. It's just like you and your spouse. If you have a spouse, or are you and a friend, if you all of a sudden you can't speak with them, or you decide not to speak to them, then the relationship's going to falter. God has given us prayer so that we can have relationship with Him, so that we can find life and joy and peace and hope in Him, in conversation with Him. From this day forward, if you haven't thought about it, think about all the things that you do as a believer and how prayer is intricately involved in that. Not just asking for God to do something for somebody else, but how you just nurture your relationship with Him that makes it sweet, that it's a real relationship, that when you walk into those hard situations at work or in other situations, that you can talk with Him and the God of the universe is listening to do something in you in that setting. Without prayer, it's just you saying, I hope, not I believe, I hope, but God uses prayer to transform it. So we launched the Pray For Me campaign in 2014, and you guys have tasted of it for a few years. Now, the reason why we did is because of this exodus of young people leaving the church and their faith after they graduate from high school. And I want to give you the thing that we're really going after with the Pray For Me campaign. It's not just a nice thing to get nice people to pray for somewhat nice young people. You got that, Adam? I was just making sure you're paying attention there. Somewhat nice. Adam's really nice. But it's not just getting nice adults to pray for somewhat nice young people. Just kidding with that you're nice young people too. So it's not just that. It's not just a nice thing. It is a vital thing. Because here's the reality. God has called us as adults. A calling. We have been marked as a called by God to pass on our faith from one generation to another generation to another generation. He has called us. It is our mandate. Psalm 145:4 says this, one generation will commend your works to another and declare your mighty acts. One generation to another generation to another generation. How you have seen the greatness of God, how you have tasted and seen the greatness of God, God calls you to be able to take that and pass it on to someone else. But it takes relationship for that to happen. Otherwise, okay, there's my team over here. Otherwise, it gets awkward, right? If all of a sudden somebody you don't know comes up and wants to tell you a story about their faith, it's awkward. Relationship makes it not awkward. The Pray For Me campaign is about removing the awkwardness so that you, a young person, can have a relationship with, and I'm going to go with what we've designed it for. You guys have done one adult per kid, young person, or one young family. We love to say that it's three adults from three different generations praying for a young person or a family with fifth graders and below. And the reason why we do that is because these young people need multiple adult believers that are engaged in their lives. And when you got three adults from different generations, that young person can see the sweetness of what it looks like to follow Jesus, whether you're a 30-year-old, a 50-year-old, or a 70-year-old, or older. So this is, you've helped me. See, just being there, you've helped me. So what we're really getting at is this B word, a B word, belonging. At the core of the exodus of young people leaving the church and their faith there's a core thing. The Barna Research Group that researches what's happening with the faith of young people in churches all around the country says this, that young people are growing up in our churches and they do not feel like they belong. Now, when I first read that, I'm thinking, how can that be? How can that be that a young person grows up in our churches and they don't feel like they belong? And the more I looked at it, I realized, wait a second, they experience church different than you and I. If you're an adult in this room, you experience church differently than the young people in this room. And here's what I mean by that. That when you walk into the church, look around, okay, you basically see a sea, S-E-A, of adults. You're walking into a sea of adults that you know if something goes south in your life, these people are for you. Well, at least you hope they are. You know they're for you. Young people are walking into the same sea of adults, and they may or may not know that these people are for them. Now, I know that you're for them. I know they're for them. But how do you create a tangible way of helping a young person know that you as adults are for them? And when you do that, you create the B word, a sense of belonging. Because belonging comes from a relational connectedness across generational lines. So, what's happening when you do that nice thing called the Pray For Me campaign, where you get three adults from different generations praying for a young person, what's happening is that young person walks in and he or she knows that these three people are praying for me. So it is not awkward. It's not awkward for them to naturally walk over and start talking to one of their prayer champions. Not awkward at all, because they've already met. They know that Hutch is praying for Adam. Adam knows that. So it's not weird. It's not awkward. Now, I don't know Hutch. He may be awkward. I'm just kidding. It's not awkward. So it creates a sense of relationship. There's a sense of safety. They walk into a room. I'm going to talk about young people right now, in a good way, guys, in a good way. But this is true for all of us. When we walk into a room, especially a room of people we do not know, we're asking the question, whether it's blatantly, internally, or subliminally, it may be in there hovering, do I belong here? And if the answer is no, then the next question, and if this question is a no too, then the writing's on the wall. The next question is, can I belong here? Now, as adults, we do the same thing. We walk into a place that we don't know some people, we're asking the question. Because we're looking for people that are safe. We're looking for the people that we know in that room so that we can go be with them, because that's our sense of belonging. Relational connection creates belonging. So when you do the Pray For Me campaign, you are transforming the relational identity of Gwinnett Community Church. And the more young people, the more adult people that are connected with young families or young people, teenagers, then it's changing the relational identity of the church. Because it's not just the young people that have a sense of belonging when that adult is praying for them, because it's bolstering a sense of belonging for that adult with the young person. Everybody has a sense of belonging across generational lines. We're seeing it all across the country, 47 states, over 800. Sorry. All of a sudden I got distracted by my own numbers. 47 states, over 800 churches in those 47 states have launched the Pray For Me campaign at some level. When I say at some level, they could be like Gwinnett Community Church that says, hey, we're going to launch the Pray For Me campaign, and we're going to have one adult that's going to pray for this family or this young person. But many of those churches do where they do three adults from different generations that will pray for them. Now, as many young adult as many people as I've seen in this room that didn't have an experience pray for me creates the opportunity that more adults could be praying for young people in this space, creating the relational connectedness that could transform their faith trajectory going into the future. Because when they walk in, this is what we want. Adults, this is what we want for young people. We want them to walk into this room and say, these are my people. These are my people. I feel safe here. I feel loved here. I feel seen here. I feel cared for here. And because having the relational connections is hard, the Pray For Me campaign makes it easy so that those relationships can be made. So that a young person, and that's not even counting the supernatural goodness that's coming from your prayers for that young person that transforms them. Now, here's what we know about belonging, that God has wired us for it. He's wired us for belonging with Him and with each other, with one another. As the body of Christ, He's wired us for us. And this is what we also know, that if we're in a place with people that we do not feel like we belong to, what do? We leave. So it should not surprise us if these, I'm tying some things together, so stay with me. So it should not surprise us if it's true that young people are growing up in our churches and they do not feel a sense of belonging there, that when they have the first opportunity for them to make a decision to go somewhere else and leave that they do. But I'm saying that we can change that. We can change that. And God has called us to change it, not just from Psalm 145:4, but one of my other favorite psalms is Psalm 71. 71, 17, and 18. He says this, O God, from my youth you have taught me, and I still proclaim your wondrous deeds. Now, that's many of you. Many of you came to faith. Well, the research shows that over 80% of people that come to faith do so before they turn 18 years old. So the majority in here, while you were teenagers or before, came to faith. And so this passage can apply to you and me. O God, from my youth you have taught me, and I still proclaim your wondrous deeds. So even to old age and gray hairs or no hair, O God, do not forsake me until I proclaim your might to another generation, your power to all those who are to come. That passage, the reason why I like it is because the psalmist, he's clearly got far more time in his rearview mirror than he does in his windshield. He's at the end. He can see that his life is finishing. And he's asking God. He's not asking for more vacations. He's asking, give me an opportunity to be able to take what you have done in my life and share that with somebody else. Give me an opportunity, even though I'm old and gray, do not forsake me until I get a chance to share your greatness with another young person, the emerging generation. The Pray For Me campaign makes it easy for the connections to be had in this room, across generational lines, so that you can begin praying for a young person and get to know that young person in a way that maybe you never imagined that you could. So that sense of belonging is at the core of changing that trajectory, that exodus of young people leaving the church. We can do that. This is something in our midst that we can take hold of. So if you haven't done the Pray For Me campaign, or if you haven't been a prayer champion, ask God today to whether you can be one this coming up year. Maybe you can play a role in a prayer role in the life of a young person and encourage them along the way and see what God may do. One of my favorite stories is the beginning of 2020. I love that song. So at the beginning of 2020, I had a goal. I had a goal of having 20 walking with the wise conversations. A walking with the wise conversation looks like this. I identify somebody that I think, okay, this guy's wise, or this woman's wise, I talk to other people that I think are wise, and I say, who are the three top people in your life that you think would be wise people that I could have a conversation with? So I have these people, and at the beginning of 2020, before the world changed, I had one of my first conversations. I went all out, and I took Mr. Allen to Panera. You know, that some people, when they're listening to me, they laugh at that, because that doesn't feel like all out, does it? But it was good. It was sufficient. So I went to Panera. I'm drinking from his well. He is a deep well type of person. I'm ladle after ladle. I'm asking questions and soaking in the answers that he has to offer. And then at the end, we're getting ready to be finished. I've barraged him too long, and we're getting ready to leave, and he says, you need to know that our church is done Pray For Me. We're in our fifth year of doing Pray For Me. And I still pray for the first four young people that I was connected with to pray for. Now, this year, I got my guy's Isaac. So I see Isaac every week. I ask him how he's doing. I ask how I can pray for him. And then the next week, I'll see him again, and I'll ask him again. But recently, I asked that question, and Isaac turns to me and says, well, Mr. Allen, how can I pray for you? Isaac's a 13-year-old, and so Mr. Allen, when he's telling me the story, he kind of pauses and he kind of sighs a little bit, looks at me, and says, "I told him about my cancer." And so then he goes on. And he says in the story that he says is Isaac's mom a few weeks later comes up to him and says, "You need to know that Isaac will not let us go through prayer at supper without praying for your cancer." And I'm thinking, this is an incredible story. I thought it was done. But then he pulls out his phone and shows me a video. And on the video, it's him, because he had gone through radiation treatment, and he's doing the ringing the bell ceremony. And he's got probably 40 of his friends there. But on the video, somebody's videoing him talking to the group. Mr. Allen's talking to the group. And at that group was Isaac. And he calls Isaac to the front of the room, and he says, now at our church, and Mr. Allen's telling the group, he goes, our church does this thing called the Pray For Me campaign, where we are connected with a young person, and I pray for that young person. This year, my guy's Isaac. I pray for him all year. But it's not just me praying for Isaac. Isaac's been praying for me. And at that moment, what I realized is that neither Isaac's life or Mr. Allen's life will ever be the same. Their relational connectedness has been sealed by a relationship rooted in prayer across generational lines. He was in his early 70s at the time, and Isaac was 13. But Isaac's experience with Mr. Allen, by being prayed for by Mr. Allen at church, rooted him with a sense of belonging at church that's different than most of our young people that are growing up in churches today. But we can change that. And you are already doing it here at Gwinnett Community. But I want to encourage you to do more. Do more. If you haven't been a prayer champion yet, I like that yet. That's a growth word here. Yet means that there's opportunity still. There's opportunity to be a prayer champion. Now, as a prayer champion, you would use the prayer guide to pray scripture for that young person. So you're not on your own. There's a prayer guide that helps you pray scripture for that young person through seven essential categories. And that those of you that are in this room that are grandparents, there's a grandparent edition you can use to pray for your grandchildren, but also pray for the child that you're praying for, the family that you're praying for. God can use you to transform the faith trajectory of a young person. No one succeeds on their own. If I had time with you alone, I would ask, who are the trail of people that have God has used to help you get to where you are today? We can become the people that God is using in the lives of a young person through this simple process of the Pray For Me campaign. You're already doing it. It's a simple thing. May God use it as you're going forward in a way that transforms the faith of not just the young people, but us as adults. As we pray for them and He knits our hearts with them because we want to see them flourish. We want to see them taste and see that the Lord is good because He is immensely good. There's nothing better than knowing Him. Nothing. As we close, I want to invite you into the adventure of praying and investing and answering the call in our lives to share the greatness of God with others. Now, in the book, I talk about a thing called See, Save, or Share process. Now, that came out of the dark ages with my wife. That came out of the dark ages because I didn't know how to walk with God. I mean, it was so hard for so long. I needed to learn how to walk with God differently during that hard time because the way I walked with Him before wasn't sufficient enough. It wasn't anywhere close to being sufficient enough to be able to trust God on a daily basis. I needed more of the greatness of God in my life on a daily basis to give me the ballast. That's a fun word. It's a nautical word. I used to live on the coast. Ballast to be so that I would not capsize. So, I see the greatness of God in Scripture, life, and creation. I don't read my Bible just to read it. I read it so that I can taste the greatness of God. That on every page here is the greatness of God. And when I read it that way, then I'm getting ballast every time I see this is God does that, He can do that in my life. And I savor that ballast, savor that greatness that I see for all it's worth. And then I do Philemon 6. There's only one chapter, so it's Philemon 6. 1:6. If that makes you feel better. So, Philemon 1:6 says this: I pray that you will continue sharing your faith so that you'll have a full understanding of all that you have in Jesus. The implication is this: if you don't share what you've seen of the greatness of God and you've savored, then there's a good tendency you're going to forget. You'll forget what He's done. And when you forget, then you start thinking this Christian life is just ho-hum, ho-hum. When it's the best adventure on the planet. There's nothing better than walking with God and trusting Him every day. And so when we see the greatness of God in Scripture, life, and creation, then we savor it for all it's worth, then we need to have an outlet, a place that we can talk to somebody else, whether it's our spouse, whether it's our friends, whether it's our grandchildren or our children, somebody. But God calls us to do it with each emerging generation. And when we do, two things happen. And this is what I'm closing with, so you don't have to be afraid. Two things we're closing with. One is it reminds you that God is at work. And He's been at work in your life. And He can still do those things. But He also reminds the person that heard the story you shared that God is at work. And that He can do something in their life as well. He can be trusted. He loves us, and He is wanting to act favorably in our lives so that His glory would be seen and savored and treasured and trusted more than anything else in the world. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for each one in this room. I pray that Your blessing upon them. I pray Your encouragement in them. I pray that You would fill them full of Your Holy Spirit. I pray that You would fill them with Your joy and peace as they trust in You so that by the power of the Holy Spirit they may abound in hope that You are their God and that these are their their brothers and sisters in Christ. These are their people that they can trust as they walk with you. Make this church more and more of the catalytic place of your gospel going forth and people knowing that they belong to you and with each other here. We pray this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.